Hello everyone, it's Steve here and welcome to another podcast. Thank you to everyone for listening, subscribing, downloading and recommending this podcast to others. This podcast is being prepared on a sunny but quite cold and windy Wednesday afternoon and completed on a sunny Friday afternoon. It's taken me about 3 takes to say that sentence, a sunny but quite cold and windy Wednesday afternoon. I'm still having trouble now, but you know what I mean. I'm a little busier this time of year, November and December, so the podcasts aren't as regular as I'd like them to be. I do want to try to reach 100 podcasts by the end of the year. So let's see. Earlier in a previous podcast, I mentioned one of my cats wasn't well the other week. I am pleased to say the vets gave her a clean bill of health today, and she is curled up on the bed, sleeping in the afternoon sun. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about food waste and how to make part of a traditional English breakfast from the previous evening's leftovers. Not that leftovers happen much in my house. As you know, I quite like trying different types of food and watching cookery programs. Not that I try to replicate the food on those programs, although I might eat it. I prefer things that are quick and easy to cook and make. Anything that takes over an hour, and I'll leave that to someone else. I'm pescatarian, which means I don't eat red or white meat, but will have fish in a meal. I also eat quite a lot of vegan and vegetarian foods. I like to read recipes and restaurant reviews in the weekend papers. One thing I've noticed recently, probably within the past 2 years or so, is that the writers comment on using all of the food and not leaving any waste. I did hear the other day that the most wasted foods in the UK are potatoes, bread, milk, and bananas. I would imagine it's probably because in most cases, they don't stay fresh for very long. I've seen a recipe for making vegan or vegetarian bacon from banana skins. I haven't tried that yet, though. In this podcast, I'm going to describe how to make a version of bubble and squeak. You'll need leftover potatoes, mashed potatoes are best, and greens such as cabbage or Brussels sprouts, etc. For this recipe, you don't necessarily need to use leftovers. You can use fresher food, but that's not really the point of bubble and squeak. Bubble and squeak is generally made from leftover greens, for example, as I said, cabbage, sprouts or peas, and mashed potato. In this recipe, you could use potatoes that weren't used in the previous night's dinner. You might have some potatoes that you need to use up. However, then you might have to peel them and mash them yourselves. Although, when I'm preparing to mash potatoes, I tend to wash or scrub them and boil them with the skin on, which apparently is very good for you because they contain a lot of fibre. I then mash them down. I think they call these crushed potatoes rather than mashed potatoes. Not everyone likes them, but I like them because they're quicker to prepare. You could either steam the potatoes before mashing them, but I find boiling them makes them softer quicker. If you're boiling, generally, you need to remember to drain off the potatoes after boiling, as they absorb quite a bit of water. And you don't want them to be soggy. I put a little bit of salt and pepper in the water to season the potatoes. Be careful with the amount of salt, as too much salt in your food doesn't taste very nice. And as we're always told, too much salt isn't very healthy for you either. I do like something food with a little bit of salt in, but I found when I went somewhere the other day, they'd put too much salt in it, and it didn't taste very nice at all. Once you've mashed the potatoes, you should put the mashed potatoes or crushed potatoes and greens in a mixing bowl and mash them and mix them together. Next, take a frying pan and put a teaspoon of olive oil or vegetable oil in the pan. Put the pan on a low heat. Then, carefully, place your potato and green mixture into the pan and form it into a disc or circle. Take care not to burn your hands on the pan. Make sure the bubble and squeak disc does not take up the whole frying pan, so you have room to turn it over later. You might want to turn the heat up a little, depending on your taste. It probably takes about 15 to 20 minutes to cook. After about 10 minutes, slightly lift up the bubble. I'll start again. After 10 minutes, slightly lift up the bubble and squeak disc and check if the underside is becoming brown. If it is, turn the disc over and let the other side cook until it is brown. How brown the bubble and squeak has to be is up to you and your preferred taste. I have a little herb garden just outside the kitchen door, so I add some herbs to give it a bit more flavour. Not traditional, but I'm the chef and I'm cooking the food, so I decide. Well, that's a recipe for bubble and squeak. You can look it up on the internet as well, of course. The reason it's called bubble and squeak, I believe, is because that's the noise it used to make when you put it into the frying pan. I've never heard it make that noise, but that's the story. Thank you, everyone, very much for listening, downloading, subscribing, and recommending this podcast to others. This is Steve saying, take care and look after yourselves, and have a good weekend. Bye-bye.